Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And we got a great show for you today. And we, of course, always have great guests. And one of my good friends that has a good publishing division gave me a holler and let me know he had a great guest that would get us on the air. And you know, I love having anyone we can get that does stuff for the Lord. I'm especially excited about our next guest here, Mr. Jeff Holder, because he is doing things that are amazing. And just talking to him just before we started the show, you know, we just do it. You know, you just go out and you take care of it. I like that kind of attitude because that's what I do. It's just like, it's there, just start working it. And, you know, God always will add the increase. So let me introduce to you Mr. Jeff Holder. Say hello to everybody, Jeff.
Hey, it's really great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Amen. Now, Jeff, before we jump into everything that you're doing, because you're doing a lot, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found the Lord.
Oh, sure. Well, I grew up in Georgia. I grew up in the middle of the Bible Belt, but didn't really go to church much. And it was really in college at University of Georgia that was the number one party school ranked by Playboy magazine. And somehow in the middle of that, I found Jesus. I've always been involved in theater, writing, that kind of thing, and I was involved in directing the production of Godspell, and that put me around a lot of Christians, a lot of people who started praying for me. Started reading the Bible because the front cover of the play says, based on the parables of St. Matthew, and that kind of sounded like that might be in the Bible. Wasn't quite sure, but, you know, I asked around, and indeed it was. And I asked a group of Southern Baptists if I could, you know, borrow somebody's Bible, and I had about 15 to choose from. You know, no, I just need one, you know. So it was a fantastic experience, and over the course of a number of months doing that, that's really how I came to understand who Jesus was, what he offered, and gave my life to Christ there in college, and moved out to Los Angeles right after college. But it you know, and looking back, it's a lot of connectivity. I even, you know, in high school, not a believer at all, but a lot of my friends went to kind of a midweek Bible study, and I'd go along too because I liked my friends, and that's what they were doing, you know. So there's so many seeds planted that led to it, and it's really just the prayers of people bringing you in, and so many people, you know. It's not really like it was one event. There's all sorts of people talking, and I just thank God for it.
Amen. Now you got saved and you moved to California. What happened next? When did you start ministering for the Lord and doing things? Because you're doing a huge work right now. And what's your background in?
Well, vocationally, the reason I moved out to LA was to be writing and producing in the entertainment industry, and God opened up a lot of doors for me real quickly in kids media. I was first script I wrote was for Scooby-Doo, and then wrote in kids' Dennis the Menace episodes and all sorts of things, and then kind of switched over to the corporate creative executive side with working at ABC Kids and Sony Wonder, Hanna-Barbera, and launched the cartoon as part of the launch of the Cartoon Network, and was working in all these areas. And up until 2000, that's really what it was. Worked with Sesame Street, did all sorts of things like that, and God just kept opening up doors. But increasingly, I was really feeling really very discontent because I found that I was reading more about missionary journals and missionary websites, and my stack of Variety and Hollywood Reporter was kind of stacking up on my desk unread. And my heart was just changing, you know, to where I was just wanting to know about what was going on around the world, because I realized that all the programs that I was a part of, they were going internationally all over the world. They were really influencing people, and yet there wasn't really much in the middle of it to really offer anything to these kids. It would be, oh, we all need to get along, and we need to, teamwork is important. And, you know, I mean, it was not bad things, but it wasn't really much. And so I really kind of had a sense that I switched sides, you know, from God's football team playing defense to playing offense, of let's be intentional then about trying to be a part of media. Originally, that's how it, because that's what I know is media. How can we then influence people for Christ. And God just opened up a lot of doors, worked with a number of different Christian ministry groups, usually making media or being a part of it or consulting for them. And rather recently this year, I've gotten involved with two groups. One is Most Important Story, that is actually who makes the Gospel of John and a number of different kinds of evangelistic material, mostly for kids and families. And Worldwide Advance, which is a volunteer position that I do. And we go around to areas of the world that are where people are open to the gospel, but the governments don't necessarily want them to be. And so that's really the picture. It's not so much that these are people who the gospel's not welcome. We don't want to hear from you. Typically, the people want to hear. The people are searching. People need Jesus, and people know they need something, and they're not quite sure what it is. But it's areas where, it's particularly throughout the Middle East, but we also have worked under different names over the last 20, 30 years in Vietnam, Soviet Russia, China, places where the government says, we don't want our people to have Bibles. We don't want them to know about Jesus for whatever reason it's motivating them. Different ideologies do that. But we just want to take to the people who say, I need help, and I want to know about God. Who is God really? Not who is God that I've been hearing about. Hmm. Who's God really? And we've been finding, especially in the Middle East, just all sorts of hunger to know who Jesus is. When you really start, when Christians who are in the area begin talking to their people, obviously high risk, all sorts of things depending on which country you're in. But we just keep getting reports after reports of just an absolute hunger to know who Jesus is, because Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. They say he didn't come back to life and things like that, but there's just something that is he is the stumbling block. He is the stone that you have to trip over. Mm. And people are tripping over him, and people are going, well, wait, now, who is that really? Who is that Jesus? And then when you get into an area such as Syria, where a lot of our work is right now, where you've got a war going on, and these people for the last 2 years, just about 2 years, has just been in the middle of every day. You know, 500,000 people are not living in their own home anymore. They're living in these refugee tent cities and everything. I mean, it's just when these kind of issues pop into your life, I mean, we Americans, you know, we lose our jobs and we go through difficult times, and that draws us, we start searching for meaning. How much more so when there's out and out war in your neighborhood?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And so these people are just in desperate need. And so I can tell you more how we got into the working in Syria.
Yeah, but, tell us a little about that. How did they contact
sure.
you, and how did you know their need, and what did you do to meet that need?
Well, what we have a number of relationships with believers inside of a lot of the different countries in that region. And we communicate with them in different ways and different times. And really, the need of Syria simply came to us. They wrote us and said, well, we actually asked them what was going on. We were involved with them on some other things, and they said, well, Syria is just terrible, because they had gotten reports themselves from people who had come out of Syria fleeing and was kind of hearing the firsthand reports of what was going on, especially amongst the, you know, from Christians who are in the area. So we said, well, what can we do? How can we help you? And so they said, well, do you really want us to tell you? And we said, yes. And they said, okay, well, here it is. And they sent us a very long list of things, humanitarian aid, transportation issues, trying to help people get from one place to another, get away from the war, and scripture portions. And we said, okay, this is great. What's the first one? Let's get started. You know, what's your priority? And they wrote us this amazing email where, obviously just picturing of what's going on, they said that the Christians in the area had said, would you please send us, they had seen that we had access to a Gospel of John by Most Important Story, said, could you send us that Gospel of John, because that's what we need the most. Because they said the spiritual food, he said, even if people are going without food, they need to know Jesus, because we've got to affect their eternity. And we can't just, we can't. We want to help them, and we are helping them with humanitarian aid also, because you just kind of can't
not do that.
But the biggest need, and then what we're the biggest need is, they said, if you get that Gospel of John, it's the full text of John, but it also has a plan of salvation and how to read the Bible, how to memorize Scripture, how to become a Christian, how to walk with God once you become one, how to tell other people. It's kind of a whole self-contained, here's how to know God and walk with God. And they said, if you can get us those, we can distribute them by hand throughout these areas. And we said, well, how many do you need? And they said, 100,000.
And you're like, okay.
And they wanted, yeah, and what they want to do, their strategy, and it makes sense, is about 20,000 for these refugee tent cities.
Okay.
Where you have all these people who are just desperate need, living in tents. They're wanting to then put 80,000 in back into Syria itself. Syria has been somewhat moderate in terms of its tolerance of Christians, kind of maybe like how Egypt used to be before their revolution a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And the concern is that the pattern of these so-called revolutions, well, they are revolutions, but these so-called Arab Springs that are happening, is what it really leads to is a country that's locked down tight. And so they're really wanting to try to get 80,000 of the Gospels of John into Syria, into the hands of the Christians who are there, into the pastors and those kind of people, because the concern is that very quickly, if things fall a certain way, the door will lock up, and we will wish we had gotten them in while we had the chance.
Oh, you know what? You're so right. You're so right. In every era, there's been a revolution or something, and it's the pastors that preaching what keeps that thing contained, and you get the word of God into people. And that's what you're doing. You're getting the Gospel of John. Now, it's the entire book of John.
Yeah, it's the entire book of John. It's illustrated. It has we work with a group called Most Important Story and mostimportantstory.com. You can actually see the book in English, so you can see what it is. But it's in Arabic, of course. And like I said, it has a lot of helps and things around it to help. So it's not just a big block of text. It's illustrated. It's laid out nicely so that kids can read it, teenagers, adults, anybody can read it.
And I've seen it online, and it's very thin. So that's good, because they can actually smuggle it in if they have to smuggle them in.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'm sorry, I had a tickle in my throat. Right now, because of the sheer chaos going on, it's not so much about, it's just trying to, you can walk in with them, but you have to avoid the bullets. You know, so.
Okay, got you.
It's different situations, and there are places where they're not welcome, but by and large, that's the plan. We oftentimes, this whole area is often talked about revolution. That's the big topic.
Yeah.
Syria is going through it. Egypt has, Libya has, and who's next? Is Jordan next? That's what we hear a lot of from the folks on the ground, is, you know, Jordan's going to go through this, the next, as soon as Syria is over. We always are just trying to advocate, well, you know what, you can have as many revolutions as you want and bring in as many dictators or ayatollahs that you want, but at the end of the day, it won't change people's hearts. And only the
word
of God. It's a revolution of the heart. It's what we are advocating. And that's what I know, you know, Christians, your listeners certainly are, would resonate with that, of what we've got to do. The only real hope and the only real solution to the problems of the Middle East are a changed heart.
Amen.
And it's an area of the world that is often marked with conflict. It kind of always has. There's long-standing tribal animosities, and the you know, the Sunnis don't like the Shiites, and the Shiites don't like the Sunnis, and nobody likes the Jews, and no one really likes the Christians.
It sounds very unfriendly.
Everybody's all mad at each other, you know. And no, there is no government solution. There is no political solution. It's changed heart, and I think that's why when the folks who wrote to us were saying, that's what we mostly need. We really need to be able to bring the word of God to people in order to change them.
Now, have you gotten the 100,000 to them, the booklets?
No, we have really. We're starting, and we are really. This is actually our first week of launching this. And so we are a good ways away from 100,000 for sure. And so that's why we just decided that we would kind of come forward. A lot of times we've been very quiet, you know, try to work behind the scenes.
But
in terms of the way media works today with social media and all sorts of things, it's like, you know what, we're just going to put it out to the American Christians and just say, this is going on. We have suffering brothers and sisters over there. They themselves want a copy of the Gospel of John, but they want a whole bunch for each person because they're then going to hand it out and work around to their individuals. That's the form of distribution. It's not, no one's dropping these on a street corner saying, hey, you want to come pick one up or not. I mean, it's really going to be through relationship, through the people, handing them to their friends, going, read this. It changed my life. You read it too. And plus, the Christians themselves, a lot of them don't necessarily have, you know, they don't necessarily have a Gospel of John themselves. Mm. And so we're just putting it out to the Christian church and just say, here in America, and just say, you know, would you pray and consider being a part of it? It's $1.23 to print one book. We've got to print them, and we've got to ship them. We've got to get them through a number of security. I joked about, you know, walking in, dodging the bullets, but there's a number of security issues you got to do to get through there. It's a tough region of the world to work. But
so are you going to be, you have places you're going to drop them at already, individuals that are already going to take them when you get there?
Yes. The basically the above ground and underground church throughout Syria and some regions, and some neighboring countries are able to physically get them in and physically hand them to their literally their neighbors.
Now,
obviously, in a refugee tent city, it's a lot more of just like walking around handing it out to people.
Sure. Now, the $1.23 that covers the printing, correct? Now, what about getting the items to the place you got to go? Is there extra cost that they may need to help and donate as well?
No, you know, the $1.23 is all of it wrapped up.
Okay,
it's
so that's
printing. It's the shipping. It's the jumping over whatever hurdles we've got to do to get them in there. And so, what we're $60 puts 50 of them in there. Obviously, you know, you can do the math. A 5,000 books would, it's a little over $6,000. That's probably one of the tent cities. And obviously, some people can do that, some people can't. It's a tough time in America still. Our economy is still, limping at best. But so it's easy to say, oh, it's only 10 bucks, it's only 20 bucks. But we just know that there's great need, and the Christian Americans rise to the occasion, and really we're just trusting God first and foremost to work in people's hearts to just give, and you know, people are able to do that, and we'll get them there.
Well, this is a good cause, a good seed. If you're planting seeds, this will be a good seed to plant. Just give them some information on how they can be a part of supporting you there.
Sure, absolutely. The main thing is just to go to our website, worldwideadvance.org. That's worldwideadvance.org. And there you can donate. There you can sign up for a prayer and news update as we get information directly from the field. We really pass it on. We cut a lot of things for security, but most everything we're able to pass along and tell you what we're hearing, what they're saying that they're needing, prayer things. You can donate, and you can get a little more information. We have a short video there and some stats and statistics about Syria and what's going on, just to kind of give people background, because a lot of times we only know the headline. We don't know much about beyond that. And so, the best next step for anyone would be to go to our website, because that's where all the action will happen. They can donate, and we really just appreciate people's heart to do such a thing.
Amen. Now, you're doing a digital initiative as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is something that's just extremely exciting. We have, like I said, we work with a group called Most Important Story, and they have a 32-page evangelistic book, print book, and it's been used by Samaritan's Purse and a lot of people over the years. And so what that is it's the digital version is to turn that print book into a digital app, iPhone, iPad app.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's just an interactive book. And so it has voices, music, and you tap it's a comic book, essentially, and you tap it, and Jesus says something, you tap it, and Andrew says something, and, you know, Andrew says, well, there's a boy here with 5,000 fish, with five loaves and two fish, and Jesus says, you know, have the people sit down, and you know, it does the whole story of life of Jesus, ends with takes it all the way through the ascension, and then it has a wraparound story of a young boy who's asked his dad to read the story to him, and then he prays to receive Jesus at the end, and it's a model prayer. So it's one of the first, as far as we can tell, it is the only evangelistic app in the iPad store that really lays out the plan of salvation and asks for a decision. And so that's there, and people can actually see that. It's at in the iPad, iPhone app store. It's just called Most Important Story, and they can see it. But we're in beta testing right now on the Arabic version and actually a Farsi version.
Wow.
And what we, you know, the media made a big deal that the Arab Spring in Egypt, that the revolution, it was the first revolution that was Twittered, you know, was always the headline, because they used so much of social media. Smartphones are very prevalent throughout that region. And so we wanted them to take it and just offer them, bam, that they can just drop in. It's great for security, high-risk areas, because if you... One of the problems is if you are holding onto a Bible, a print thing, you then have evidence against you. And here you hold down the app for 3 seconds and it disappears.
Wow!
So you know you can get rid of your incriminating evidence pretty quickly.
Now, is there any
and
cost?
And it's something you can read privately and that kind of thing.
Is there any cost to the app?
It's $1.99.
$1.99. Okay. That's not bad at all, actually, for apps, especially in the...
Well, it's to try to keep further languages. That's why the English, the $1.99 of English is helping to pay for a Spanish version that we're coming out probably in about 3 weeks with. And then after that, Arabic and Farsi. And then our goal is to get it into 100 languages.
Oh, yeah. I need Hindi, because I go to India a lot.
Yeah. Well, see, our print, the print book, The Most Important Story, does is in 118 languages.
Oh, wow.
And Hindi's a very popular language. A lot of people use it for... They use these books for short-term trips and
yeah, I'm gonna start doing that. I'm definitely gonna start doing that, because
well, that's over at mostimportantstory.com.
Okay,
it's not Worldwide Advance; it's a different group, but we work together obviously a lot, because we're the hands putting it into the area, and they're the folks that create the material.
Amen. Well, God says to make witty inventions. Witty inventions, and this is
that's right.
This is one of them. And so, are you doing any type of producing or anything anymore?
You know, for the most part, no.
Okay.
We're a lot of what I've been doing. It's a lot of it is in the area of these apps, and even in kids' media, we have a number of things on the drawing board that are it's too soon to talk about, but
okay.
That would be trying to create apps for kids and families that would engage them. Differently than how this app I'm talking about is an interactive book, which is great. It's very engaging, and you can have it read to you. You can read it yourself. You can, all sorts of different modes that you can do. But it's also looking for ways that we can create apps that and new media is to be able to engage people in the gospel, especially kids in the gospel. There's, the world is changing. We all consume media very differently than we used to.
That's true.
And what the potential is, and where, in 5 years it'll look even more different than it is now. And
mm-hmm.
So really a lot of what trying to use what experience I have in writing and producing to put it toward that. How do we then really engage people? How do we communicate Christ in the digital age? How
Amen.
Do we do that?
Amen.
So it's trying to figure out that. And like I said, God, we always say, we just keep walking, following God, and He puts stuff in our path, and we trip over it, and finally we go, hey, wait, look at that. So I mean, I'd like to say we sat in a little room and came up with all this stuff, but really we just respond to what we hear from the field. We respond from what we hear from moms and dads saying, I wish I had something like this, I wish I had that. People in Syria saying, we wish we had this. And it's like, okay, then we just want to try to meet that need.
Amen, amen. Well, God picked the right man. I mean, if you can hold kids' attention doing all those stuff that you've been doing, you're definitely creative to make different apps and stuff and be able to move the gospel out. And
well, to God's glory.
Amen. Hey, did you work on, like, Dexter or Samurai Jack, anything like that?
Well, actually, I was the I was head of development, which was launching the new projects, and it was Dexter's Laboratory, Powerpuff Girls, Johnny Bravo, Samurai Jack came after I did.
Okay.
It was that era.
Yeah, what happened to all those good shows? Now that my kids look at the Cartoon Network, I'm like, there's nothing on there that appeals. I'm like,
I knew I was really old one day when they moved Dexter's and Johnny Bravo over to Boomerang, which is like the nostalgia channel. You know, like, really? That wasn't that long ago. I don't know what happens. I think that what happens is simply things fall apart. Things go toward the world leans in the direction of immorality will sell. I think a lot of cartoons these days are very cynical.
Yeah, they are.
They don't. They're not uplifting. They're not fun. And you know, they should just be fun.
Yeah,
it's a cartoon, and I think they're kind of cynical. It's I sometimes don't kind of wonder what happens myself to that. But
yeah, know. Well, I mean, I just wanted to get your opinion since I have you on the air.
Sure.
It's like but hey, you should make a Christian cartoon. I have a TV platform. I'll air it for you, and we'll air that for you.
Well, there are some things that we are thinking about doing. We think about a lot of things, and we just see what God opens up to us to walk through. But there's a lot of great, there's a lot of really good, very talented Christian filmmakers, Christian animators who are looking to try to do things. It's always just trying to figure out the logistics, the funding, how do we do it, who can we use, all that kind of thing.
This is an amazing time for people like yourself that have been trained and really honed in on your gift. And now media is at the forefront. And always has been, but not like any time before. Media is so important to everybody's life. You do, and God's going to use you for that.
Well, even in the smartphone, I was at a conference, and they said that basically studies show that that for most people, over 70% of the people, your smartphone, your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your Droid, is never more than 3 feet away from you at any time. you take it next to your bed.
Yes.
You take it in the car.
Yes.
Many statistics show you take it to the bathroom. I mean, you know, it's this weird phenomena that we have this piece of media, something that delivers media to us, and we keep it with us. I mean, I do.
Amen.
And that's why it's just the opportunity for the gospel, for these apps to really be able to be a part of engaging that conversation, because the trick is, where's the conversation, and then how can we get into the conversation?
Amen. Now, how on your digital initiative, are you going to make that available for Android too, or just iPhone and iPad?
We are, and Android for sure. We are working on that. All of this is just, you know, it just moves so quick.
I know.
And so we've got the English iPhone version up. We're Android is, Spanish is next. Working on the language is going that direction, and then we've got to start the Android. Will probably start very quickly, because it's a big part of people have those. And so,
even
you want to be wherever anybody is.
Yeah, you know? And what's his name? The guy that owns Facebook. he even said that over 70% of people using Facebook are Android users. So
yeah, it's a lot. Some of the development is easier on the iPhone, iPad, the iOS, and so that's why we started there.
Okay.
Because that's where we had a better sense that we could start there. Experience,
no, that's great.
Set wise with our developers.
Whoa.
But for sure. The goal is, in fact, there was a blog on Most Important Story that was talked about being platform agnostic, which is a technical term, meaning it doesn't matter no matter what type of phone, it just needs to be there. If you're carrying something around your pocket, we need to be there.
Amen.
If you've got a tablet, no matter what your tablet is, we need to be there. And so
Amen.
That's the goal, and that's the call I think that Christian media producers need to take in, and not even Christian media producers, evangelists need to see. We've got to be where the conversation is, and it's all a digital conversation right now.
Amen. Amen. Give everybody your website one more time.
Absolutely. It's worldwideadvance.org.
Amen. And they can get a hold of you, contact you anyway, and let them know how much the cost of the books are again.
The books are $1.23. And that's the number that it was. And so we said, well, we're not going to round it. This is the number. So, 10, 100, 5, 1,000, whatever anybody can do. We could greatly appreciate it. More importantly, the people of the Christians in Syria would greatly appreciate it for themselves and for their neighbors.
Amen. Well, Jeff, thank you for being on today's show. We really appreciate you.
Well, this was a lot of fun.
Amen. We'll catch you next time. And also, hey, you come up with any ideas, anything you need from us, just let us know. We'll jump
All right. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. God bless. You have a blessed day.
God bless you.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Amen. That was Brother Jeff Holder, and we are just about at that time on the show, but we're going to play. We're going to be able to play. I was going to play a commercial, but actually, we probably got to get this thing on the road. So, my friends, we appreciate everything that you're doing for the Lord out there. We have guests like Jeff and just talking about, and you know, we talked about the website and stuff and what he's doing. But if you notice, we talked about evangelism as well and the media. And I like that in my shows. When I can get someone in here that will sit with me and talk on different things, and yeah, we're going to promote the product or promote what they're doing. That's going to happen naturally in the show. But just to talk about his ideas, I mean, we talked a little bit even about cartoons and how they're cynical now and how they're more, a lot of the stuff is immorality sells. And that was just a good insight for you. And I tell you what, my friends, I tell you that it's what God is doing nowadays in faith and how he's doing it. And we need to know. Evangelists need to know. Ministers need to know. Lately, I've been reading a couple of books, and those books have really inspired me of just evangelizing and just being creative. I'm reading about Oral Roberts' life, reading about Lester Sumrall's life, and it just really encouraging me. That the more we do on the digital end, the more we do on the creative and witty inventions, that we're going to reach more souls. We got to think outside the box, my friends, to reach people. Again, I want to thank my guest, Jeff Holder. You can definitely get information on him from worldwideadvance.org. Worldwideadvance.org. Please help support his project of 100,000 Bibles for refugees in Syria. Do your part. Sow your seeds, my friends. Remember, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Keenwood, Texas, 77325. And guys, we'll see you. And gals, we'll see you next time on the Midwatch. I'm out.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.